In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, this is Father Tom. Yesterday I got a lot of comments about how people liked the broadcast. This is the second part. I do not know if the people will like this one, but it's the second part. Let's look at the scripture we did yesterday. It was 1 Samuel 3:19. Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Thus all Israel from Dan to Beersheba came to know that Samuel was an accredited prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear to Samuel. And how? At Shiloh. How? As he ministered himself through Samuel at Shiloh through his word. We see that in the divine economy, you've never heard me say it, divine economy, but I have today, that God has raised up in the Old Testament and in the church, priest, prophet, and king. We see that in Jesus, he is the perfect priest as he offers himself as the Lamb, as he offers himself as the Lamb of God. He is the perfect prophet, for he is the word of God, and he speaks the word of God. And remember what he said, not one stone will be left upon another in the temple of Jerusalem. Perfect prophet. And he is the perfect king as he reigns upon the cross and at the Father's right hand. Now the church, her people become priest, prophet, and king through faith and baptism. But you know, what we become has to be developed. It's not magic. Priest, prophet, and king, not magic. It has to be developed. If it's not developed, I'm going to tell you, we will lean toward one or the other. And because the church is an institution, though it is the body of Christ, it is still an institution, and there is an institutional model. We see that the church becomes more priestly and more kingly than it becomes prophetic. That's real. You see, it's easier to be a priest and a king than it is to be a prophet. Because, you see, the prophet can die if he speaks the word of God. When Francis went before the Holy Father and spoke his words, he could have died, but the Holy Father was touched because he had had a dream. Francis, acting as prophet, as Francis of Assisi, went before the king, or shall I say before the Pope. He could have died. They could have called him a heretic, and they could have put him to death, as they did Joan of Arc. As they did Joan of Arc. You see, we lean toward one or the other. It's easy. It's easy to be a king, and it's easy to be a priest. But the prophetic realm is not easy, because you say things that challenge the priest and the king. We remember Nathan the prophet. We remember how he went to David, because David had got Bathsheba pregnant and killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And he talked about a man who had a little ewe lamb, and that somebody came and took that ewe lamb. That ewe lamb was like a pet to the person. It was part of the family, Nathan said. And the man came who had so many sheep, and he took the ewe lamb. And he took it from the man who only had the little ewe lamb. And Nathan asked David, what shall we do to a man like this? And David says, he should die. And Nathan said, you are the man. Oh yes, you are the man, King. You had everything at your hands, and what did you do? You went after Bathsheba, and you killed Uriah in the front lines. You are the man. You see, poor Nathan could have died. The king could have said, who do you think you are, prophet? You're going to be dead today. It is not very accommodating to be a prophet. The prophetic will get you in deep trouble. Look what it did to Jesus. They hung him on a cross. But you see, in the divine economy, God has left us priest, prophet, and king. And because we lean toward one or the other, and it's always easier for the institution to lean toward the king and the priest and not the prophet, because we lean toward one or the other, something is going to die. And yes, we can all say, you know, I'm a priest, prophet, and king through faith and baptism. But you want to know what? I'm a billionaire because my father is one too, and his name is God. But unless I start giving, I'll never know how much money I'm going to have until I start giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and not expecting in return. You can be things ontologically, but ontological stuff makes no difference. We're living in the real world. For instance, Jonah was raised up, and Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh was a pagan town. It took 3 days to walk through, and Jonah cried out repentance. The prophet interprets things that are happening and says God calls for repentance. The Ninevites repented, and the calamity did not come. What happens when there is no prophet? Like, let's look at what's happening in California. Let's look at it. Let's analyze it. My question is at least a question. Is God saying something? Is God saying something as Southern California burns? Is God trying to speak? I do not hear the word of a prophet. I hear the words only of the firemen and only of the newscasters. Now, what happened if a prophet rose up and said, God is calling Southern California to repentance because it's been into homosexuality, it's been into loose living, it's been into drugs, it's been in... They'd say to that man, you are so mean, mean-spirited, that you would say this to a people that are having their homes burned. But you see, there is no prophet to interpret the signs of the time. There is no prophet. So what does God do? He continues to break down the nation, the church. And we do not repent because there is no prophet, giving what's happening meaning. There is an answer, and the answer is repentance. Like a long time ago, as we saw the seminary begin to dwindle. Like when I was there, it was dwindling. We had 100 people, and that was nobody. Now they said they've got 50, but you know what? Most of them aren't from Boston. What would the prophet say? The prophet would say, Boston needs to repent. And you can continue to do whatever you want. You can have Andrew nights on the Feast of St. Andrew, the last day of November. You can do what you want, vocation people. But you want to know what? Until there is repentance, you will not see an increase. Until the church repents of what she's doing to her priests, like Father John McLaughlin, who was considered innocent before the court. I hope the church says he can go back to ministry. Father Dan Toomey, the best priest in the archdiocese, having him suffer like a child molester, and he's not. He never did anything like that, and the church knows that. But you see, until the church repents, God will strip the church bare. She will have a bare fanny, in plain English. The prophet speaks those words. Until the church repents that she is not pro-life, that she has been run by lawyers and not by the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, God will continue to strip the church. But unfortunately, because there is no prophet that is listened to, it will continue to happen and continue to happen and continue to happen. And no meaning is given to it other than circumstance, the culture. No, it's God stripping his church bare until God hears from his people the sound of repentance. Joel 2. Let the priest and the prophet cry out. Let the married couples abstain from their bed. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain, that God's people would repent. You see, we have our theology right, that we are priest, prophet, and king, but I don't see any prophets. I don't see any prophets. I don't see any prophets. I have a prophetic strain within me, but I'm not listened to, because I don't belong to the club. And it is a club. But I wish God would raise up somebody else, because they don't listen to me, but somebody else who would be listened to that belongs to the club. That's one of them. And I wish that would happen for the sake of the people. I wish it would happen for the sake of the people. Not for my sake, but for the sake of the poor people who are like sheep without a shepherd. I continue to get calls. Today I got one from a hospital, one of these little dog hospitals, you know. And somebody who brought him Holy Communion said, you've got to call Father Tom to pray with you. This is in another city. So the first thing I say to the man is, you've got to get out of this hospital. How long have you been there? You've got to go to Mass General. This is a dog hospital. You don't need to be in a dog hospital. You've been treated there how long and nothing has happened? You need to get out of that hospital. Then he said, this lady asked me to call you to pray. You know, I haven't been taking phone calls because I've been sick. I was supposedly taking this week off to do something fun, but I've been sick. And I answered the phone today for this poor man. And I say to the guy, you need to get out of this hospital. Now I'll pray. And when I hang the phone up, I go into my room and say, sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. These poor people. You see, that's why God has to raise up the prophet from the club. Because it's a club. You've got to fit in the club in order to be heard. It's really true. People told me that many years ago and I didn't believe it. But you know what? I have come to see that it's really true. It's a club. And if you don't fit in the club, they don't listen to you. So my prayer today is, Lord, raise up people in the club that will be prophetic, that there would be a prophetic strain so that we can repent. Raise up people that would say, you know why we don't have seminarians? I'll tell you why. Because we have thrown out our priests. We have thrown them under the bus. We have not been pro-life. You see, it's got to happen in the club from people they respect. Because it won't happen otherwise. What we will see is the stripping and stripping and stripping and stripping of the Archdiocese of Boston until it's stripped down to nothing. See, I know this to be true. I've received a prophetic word in the year 2000, 2001, 2002, whatever year it was. But my saying these things is like speaking to the wind, because I am not listened to. And you know, I can deal with that. If God raises some people up from the club, why do you call it a club? Because it's an in-group. It's an in-group that runs the archdiocese, as it's an in-group that runs the Vatican, as it's an in, you've got to have an in-group. That's real. But you need the prophetic in the in-group as well as the kings and the priests. You need to make room for the prophetic, because you know why? It has been given to us in God's great economy. If not, the people perish without the prophet. Oh yes, they will want to kill the prophet. Oh yes, they will want to throw him in chains. Oh yes, he must, or she must take risks. Catherine of Siena was a prophetess. She went to the Pope and she said, you get out of here. We have three popes. You're the Pope. Go back to Rome. She was a prophet. They could have killed her. She wasn't even a nun. She was Third Order. She was Third Order Dominican. But they listened to her. How can you listen to somebody when you have a club telling you everything you want to hear? You're so good. You're doing a good job. Things are really... Look what you've done all these years, all these months, Archbishop. Oh, you did such a good job. You know, I'm not saying he hasn't done the best he could. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, unless we repent, we're going to be stripped of everything. I know that to be true. And God must raise up a prophet from the club. As we're looking at California, who's giving it meaning? Nobody. So what's going to happen? There'll just be more calamity. We've had mudslides in California. We've had fires. Everything but locusts. Who gives it meaning? Nobody. God's calling his people to repent. If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and repent. Yeah. There's no prophet. There's no prophet. That's the West Coast. The East Coast is dying by attrition. We're dying from within. We're dying from within. At least in California, you're looking and saying something's happened from without. We're dying from within. And there is an answer. And the answer is, oh my God, we are far from thee, O Lord. We have in our day nothing other than our own plans. Would you forgive us, Lord? We need your plans. You see, no word of Samuel went without effect, and God manifested himself through the word of the prophet. Oh, my Lord, how we need the prophet. Oh, they'll kill him, but how we need the prophet. That's part of the club. God has raised up prophets in the club, you know. Thomas a Becket, he was part of the club, and he became the prophet. Oh, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. You see, even if I see all the ways that it works, I have no power. I can't fix it. But you can. And I cry for the Archdiocese of Boston. I cry for the people. I cry for the people. Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. As I said yesterday, we have good shepherds. I told you Father Hickey is a good shepherd. I told you we have good shepherds. Father Toomey is a good shepherd despite what they're doing to him. Father John McLaughlin, a good shepherd despite what they're doing to him. Eleonoris McCullen, a good shepherdess, they're not doing anything to her. They're just ignoring her. Eric Caden is a shepherd. He's not a priest, but he's a shepherd. But you see, we need shepherds and prophets. We need shepherds and prophets because the prophet will speak the hard word in the divine economy. God made it that way. And if there is no prophet, then California will burn without meaning. And Boston will die from within without meaning until we repent. I tried to do this broadcast very calmly because I could raise my voice very easily. And I do this because, you know, I don't look for these topics. This morning, this is what I received. I didn't say it this morning. I'm going to just get up and from a sick bed and speak about prophets. I just received this morning, and I said, well, it'll be the second part of yesterday. Now I'm going to tell you what it does to me to see my archdiocese die from within. It breaks my heart. That's what it does to me. It breaks my heart. You see, the Archbishop came here from someplace else. He didn't belong here. I belong here. I belong here. I was given a mandate from God that Boston was where I would be. This was a direct mandate from God. And what I see happening to Boston breaks my heart. I might come across angry sometimes, and angry I am. But more than anger, my heart is broken for the people. For the multitudes of people that are like sheep without a shepherd. Where people play business as usual. When our people are dying from within, not knowing Jesus Christ from Satan. You drive down the roads and see how our people are celebrating the feast of darkness called Halloween. You drive down the road and see how our people, Catholics, Protestants, are celebrating the feast of darkness, Halloween. Where people will be killed in sacrifice on that unholy night, and their bodies will be eaten. You have no idea what it does to me. You have no idea. I can say these words, but you
have no idea what it does to me. If I could cry, I'd cry an ocean of tears for what I see God's people being handed over to the enemy like sheep without a shepherd, not knowing their right hand from their left, because there are so few teachers, so few visionaries, and so few prophets. So I ask you, Lord, to raise up the prophetic in the institution that will be listened to. That's my prayer, and I ask it for the sake of the people who are like sheep without a shepherd. Tonight is Wednesday. We are usually at espousal. We will not be at espousal. No espousal tonight. But I will be at the Holy Rosary surprise mass, even though I said there wasn't any this week. Surprise mass tonight at 7:30. You're welcome to come. We will not hear preaching tonight. Only repentance. Only repentance. No preaching. Only repentance. And then we will worship the Lord. Tonight at the Holy Rosary, 7:30, surprise mass. Ha ha. Didn't have any idea we were going to have that, but you know what? That's what we're doing tonight, and we will repent. You're welcome to come to the Holy Rosary, 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop, Massachusetts. You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. And I do not do these broadcasts to get myself worked up, but I am worked up because God's people are being ravaged. And how can we look at it and just not respond? I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. I really need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Please, please, please. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Tonight is surprise mass at 7:30. Holy Rosary. God bless you.
Has been in season and out of season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you.